Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. The Entrepreneur Experiment helps you break down the secrets and systems world-class founders use to build their business, their body, and their brain. It's the weekend. That means it's a mentor moment. What is a mentor moment? Well, every weekend, I recap 10 minutes from our most impactful and powerful episodes. And today we're going right back in the archives. We're going back to 2019. This was 5 or 6 months after we just started. And I sat down and chatted to John Ryan from Gigable, who had also just started. And Gigable has gone from strength to strength to strength since that. They've turned over 1 million. They've been backed by, I think, 4 million now. The people like BoxPro, founders of BoxPro behind them, the founders of Hostel World are behind them. So they've done an incredible amount and they've broken into the UK. So what it is, it's the decentralized digital platform that connects short-term workers in the gig economy. Very, very topical right now. And John has been plugging at this since 2019. This episode will show you that it's not realistic people that change the world. You have to be unrealistic and you have to be idealistic. Can't just aim for a low target, because if you aim low, you'll get low. So be inspired by this 10 minutes from John Ryan. Excuse the audio quality, it was back in 2019. I was learning what to do. We had one mic between the two of us, but stick with it because the mic is mainly on John and he does most of the talking. So enjoy this mentor moment with John Ryan from Gigable. If you're a regular listener of the pod, which I hope you are, you'll know I've been hosting the podcast from Iconic offices for quite a while now, and things have gone really, really well. So well, in fact, that I'm now a member of Iconic offices, working and recording from one of their spaces. This means I can vouch for the benefits it gives to any business. On that note, Iconic offices have given me a number of exclusive complimentary day office trials for my audience. So try it out for yourself for the day, bring your team. No catches. Simply go to the web link in the description and enter Gary23, so it's Gary23, to claim your complimentary office for a whole day. It's a pretty fantastic offer. Thank you, Iconic offices.
So ideally, what will that result be? We'll say in 4 years' time. So success for me would be that people are actually working less, but being paid more because they're doing things that they're effective at. And the costs for businesses will be able to pay people more because they don't have four people to do a job that should require two who are effective at what they're doing and want to do it, right? Which is a big issue in businesses as well, is that, you know, you kind of have to have, generally speaking, you need to have four or five people to get maybe one or two really, really good ones and then two kind of average ones, and then everybody else pulls the final piece of the puzzle along. And that's very, very difficult because it drives everybody's pay down as well. It drives everybody in the business's, you know, effectiveness down. And a lot of the time, it's not because that individual who might be the top performer in the company or whatever the business might be, it's not that there's anything wrong with them per se. They just don't want to do that job, probably. You know what I mean? And that's an issue of choice, and it's an issue of availability, and it's an issue of, you know, the facility of technology not delivering to those people yet, but it can in time, and that's what we're looking to get into, is giving kind of unlimited, like endless, I suppose, is a bit of a kind of a highfalutin word, but it basically endless opportunity to people to earn income doing things that they want to do. And, you know, that might be an idealistic goal to set, but it's good to have idealistic goals because if you get even halfway there, you'll have made a big difference.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I think you have to have best case scenario.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just aiming for the middle ground and that's kind of nothing.
Yeah. And I often, you know, often people often say that to me, look, they say, John, your idea for what this app is, should be is, you know, it's never going to happen because it's too idealistic. You know, there's never going to be kind of perfect competition and people aren't going to have perfect opportunity and equal choice and whatever. And I totally accept that. You know, you need to be pragmatic as well. And, you know, aiming for the 4 year dreamline target today would be totally, you know, inappropriate because we don't have the capacity, facility, the money, volume, you know, everything, brand identity to do that yet. So the early step is let's get volume in here and let's get like 100 people who really love what we're doing, including businesses, we'll say. So get like, let's say 100 businesses And we've got 4,000 people, give or take, on the app at the moment, right? Registered, verified members. So we'll say, let's get like 1,000 workers and 100 businesses or something like that who really, really get it and really, really love it. And let's just learn from them and develop the perfect world for them as much as we can. And then let's see if that's something that we can kind of push out into other areas, and for them to then be kind of, you know, in their own rights, the champions of it, whether they won't see themselves that way. Obviously, they'll just be like, we're just using this because we need a solution to our problems or whatever. Yeah. It works, exactly. And then you take that, you learn from it, which is what we've done at a very, very rapid pace in Gigable. We've, you know, we were very, very lucky before we even had an app. We had customers doing delivery for us, myself and Shane Gannon, head of partnerships in the company, has been with me since the very beginning, basically. We had a spreadsheet of names and phone numbers of guys that we got from an ad on Gumtree who were interested in doing delivery work. And we had two clients who needed delivery guys on demand. And we were ringing them and getting them into gigs around Cork, as it was. It was just where the opportunity arose for us.
I love this. So you hacked together your first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like that for 4 or 5 months.
I love that.
Yeah, and it was tough going. Shane bore the brunt of that.
So you basically found a couple of customers who were like, yeah, we use delivery drivers all the time, trouble to find them. You went in, yeah, found delivery drivers who wanted work.
Exactly.
You sat in the middle, and then you just logistically worked it out.
Just put them together, put them into gigs the same way the app would eventually do come April or May of this year when it was live. It was live on the Play Store in January of this year, but it wasn't on iTunes until April, I think, or May. Basically, so we didn't really push the app until we had it live in both, because it was like the business was like, well, I'm Android, but the guys we want are on iPhone and we can't connect to each other and all this. And we were just like,
oh, why was the delay? Work.
iTunes just, you know, is a lot more rigorous check of the apps, which is good actually. Like, you know,
you hear that a lot, that Apple push back a huge amount.
They push back a huge amount, and we were like cursing them, but at the same time, I was going, actually, that's a really good point. We didn't think of a way to flag a gig, and you should have a way to flag a gig. For example, somebody puts up a gig for something crazy, like whatever, right? Use your imagination. There's no way for people in the community to tell us.
Okay.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were like, you don't think about that when you're thinking about the ideal solution. You're not thinking about nobody's going to misuse this.
No bad actors.
Yeah. There's no bad actors in the world, you know, but there are, unfortunately, and iTunes know all about them, or Apple know all about them. So they gave us some good kind of, you know, pushback that allowed us to develop the app or whatever in a kind of a good way that made it really market ready. But those early days, as I said, we were trying to build the ideal solution. We were lucky that we had real customers with real feedback that we could feed into the development process like straight away. Mm. Started the company in August.
What did they think you were doing?
The businesses?
The customers, yeah.
So I don't think they cared, actually. Okay. If anything, when we moved them to the app, they were kind of resistant. Because
they were used to you picking up the phone.
Yeah. It was like, this is really easy. We just call John or call Shane and tell them we need 10 guys on Saturday or whatever. And it was, way easier than posting your own gigs or whatever into the platform. So, but they got it in time. And, you know, like, you know, those early customers are still with us. And, like, you know, they're using it in such a way that they actually don't need any more features or, you know, they're not demanding anything else. It does exactly what it's supposed to do, which is great. You know, it just kind of runs itself. And the guys who are earning an extra income, you know, doing delivery work, are just tagging in and out of gigs as they want to. And, you know, some guys pull down $2,500-$3,000 a month doing delivery, supplementary income, you know, to their day jobs or whatever. They got kids or whatever. That's an amazing feeling. Actually, I love that. That for me is like, when you're struggling and you're thinking, well, you're making a decision about the business or development of the app or what you can do to make it. I'm always thinking about those guys. I'm like, you know, kid needs braces, whatever. There's something going down. I need to do some repair work in my house or whatever. And somebody goes, yeah, I'm going to tip into the gig economy and, you know, make a few grand extra this month or next month. Those are like, and actually, you know, statistics would tell you that, you know, that's only maybe 15-20% of people in the gig economy are doing work in that way, where they kind of tagging in out because they just need whatever, a bit of extra money. It might be to go on holiday, it might be something quite, you know, quite kind of a normal thing to do as well, as opposed to an emergency need of funds or whatever. But yeah, a very small proportion, seemingly, if you read the stats, around 20% are doing it for those reasons, whereas around 70% odd are doing it for out of choice, or just as, you know, a kind of a regular supplementary income to their lives, as opposed to kind of tagging.
That's very surprising.
I'm very surprised at that as well, actually. I think statistics, you know, statistics are statistics.
yeah. They can prove anything or disprove anything.
Yeah, exactly. Was it lies and damn statistics?
Yeah, but I think that, look, I think that's a media thing as well in terms of, I think the gig economy has been characterized as this exploitative, I've no choice, so I'm going to work in the gig economy. Whereas it's now been proved 70% of people are actually doing it by choice.
Yeah.
They want to earn a little bit of extra cash.
Exactly.
For fundamental things.
Exactly. And like, you know, there's, you know, up to half the working population in the US and in Western Europe, you know, by McKinsey's estimates, are involved in the gig economy in some way or other at this stage.
Without probably realizing or calling it the gig economy.
That's exactly
making it. Making a few extra quid.
That's exactly it. And I think that a lot of people are choosing to move to independent work anyway. You know, I know people who are in, we'll say, the consulting profession, the accountants, auditors, pharmacists even, who are very, very interested and have, you know, there's a lot of appeal in being able to do what they do best, be paid more for it on a day rate or a week rate or a 3 month, 6 month contract, whatever it is, or gig, as we call it. It's basically like a little mini contract. And to be able to live their life as well, you know, at the same time, without having to clock in and out to be showing face. You know, it's a deliverable based system, really, the gig economy. Like you're you know, outside of, we'll say, food delivery and whatever else, like hospitality work or whatever else, but if you're looking at kind of higher paid independent work, it's generally project based, and it's, you know, you're given a result to achieve by a certain date. It's what you're good at and it's what you like doing, and how you do it doesn't really matter. It's how we run that's how our whole team runs in Gigable. Like, I don't have anybody come in at a certain time unless we have a meeting or something that we have to do, which is pretty rare. People, it's project based. Like, this is what we need to achieve. You do it whatever way it suits you. You know what I mean? So we drink our own Kool-Aid.
I was going to say, you're eating your own soup or drinking your own Kool-Aid, or whatever. And say, that's interesting.
Totally. Yeah. You have to, like, you have to live by what you're preaching, and then you can see the downsides of it. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes people need more direction. A lot of the time it doesn't suit certain people, like they're not used to that kind of level of freedom.
I think that's it too, in terms of this is very new.
Yeah,
this is very, very new. Look, I'm a big believer in that. I think it's the future, so I'm sold on it.
I hope you enjoyed that episode with John. If you did enjoy it, you can go back and listen to the full episode back at episode 34. That's wild. It's been so long ago. It's nearly time to get John back on, I think, for an update. Just search in Google Gary Fox and John Ryan and you'll get the full episode. If you enjoy that episode, click like, subscribe, and I'll see you back here in a couple of days. Thanks for listening to the Entrepreneur Experiment.